This is absolutely incredible. And this is deep inside the rock.
We start our journey in Peru with the most pressing of situations. Active excavations of the megalithic fortress of Sacsahuaman in Cusco. I was able to spend multiple days with the Chincana Project archaeology team, with exclusive and unfettered access to the dig sites and excavation tunnels that are being worked on as we speak, providing you with never-before-seen high-quality evidence that the secrets beneath Sacsahuaman are being revealed. When I first arrived in Peru, I was hit quite hard with altitude sickness, headaches, dizziness, a bit of vomiting, fatigue from walking up a few steps. It took some getting used to before I was able to start the work that I came here to do. But the very next day, after some coca tea, I began my gradual, step-by-step trek from the city of Cusco up the winding streets and roads that would eventually take me to the Overwatch Point, where you will find the megalithic complex of Sacsahuaman. I was meant to be meeting the team behind the historic excavations that are taking place right now at this most mysterious of archaeological sites. Now, Cusco itself is a breathtaking place, a veritable safe haven nestled in the Andes Mountains, homes cascade in layers across the steep gradient landscape. Streets of cobbled stone mark your path, and you can find yourself happily lost within the labyrinth of alleyways boasting trinkets of bronze and alpaca wool. Away from the bustling tourist track, the city of Cusco offers a peaceful energy, clean air and striking vistas, good food and vibrant colors. Aside from the altitude adjustment, it's a place I would happily return to, simply to enjoy the city and soak up its energy. It's also a city pockmarked with the remnants of truly remarkable feats of working with stone. The city of Cusco itself stands testament to a bygone era, as every turn you will find the remains of megalithic stones and precision-engineered walls that have now been incorporated into the modern infrastructure. Peruvians of this mountain refuge are a kind and welcoming people, proud of their history and their heritage. It's not difficult to see why, because this land is home to some of the most impressive megalithic structures in the world. And although there is much debate over their origin and how they were made, there can be no debate over their majesty.
It's extremely hard to walk up here whilst filming because it takes a lot of breath out of you, but we're just beginning to see the beginnings of the megalithic stonework, and I wanted to start filming now because we are reaching the top, and as you can see, that's where we're heading.
Now, what can I say about Sacsahuaman? Nothing can prepare you for the enormity of some of these blocks and the absolute mastery of the stonework on display in these precision-fitted, multi-angle, multi-ton stones. The craftsmanship is at a level beyond artistry. These fortified walls are designed in such a way as to displace kinetic energy across the various interlocking points that connect one stone to the other. This method of precision fitting and interlocking serves a higher purpose than mere aesthetics. It is, in simple terms, anti-earthquake engineering, designed to displace immense amounts of force across the fortification, dissipating the energy throughout the structure. Truly a phenomenal example of engineering nature to defend against nature. The mainstream archaeological arena places the construction of Sacsahuaman not in the ancient past, but in a period of time only 500 to 600 years before our own, constructed by the Bronze Age cultures of the Inca. Proud and powerful, they showcased an incredible knowledge of agriculture and working with the landscape. However, the Inca toolkit, one of copper, bronze, and stone, in the form of chisels and hammers, falls short of the mastery levels of precision that we see in Sacsahuaman and across the Andes region. The joinery between each stone is so precise that in places a human hair cannot be slid between them. The areas that show gaps in the joinery are the consequence of time and force.
Look at the the seams. Now you've got to think that this has been here for so long. When it was originally made, these would have been fitted completely airtight, because you see that all across the site. These have sustained damage and have loosened. Still incredibly tight precision fitting.
Something that will become even more evident as we journey across the region and see further examples of destruction where only the sturdiest of fortification elements have survived to this day. Some of the stones used in this anti-seismic fortification weigh in excess of 200 tons. These humongous boulders, quarried from distances requiring miles of hiking across valleys and up mountains, carved, smoothed, manipulated into multi-angled forms and fitted together with exact precision, is a display of logistical, engineering, and material capabilities that extend far beyond the capacities of a Bronze Age toolkit. And force us to question the how, the why, and the when. Stones that appear as if they have been softened, like marshmallows pushed together. We see time and time again across this site the same evidence we see in Egypt.
And again, this is rose quartz granite. How are you scooping it? How are you scooping this incredibly hard material? No, it's not. You can't even see chisel marks. So these are actually, thanks for pointing this out, bro. This is really good examples of the infamous scoop marks that we do find across the world, but are very concentrated in Egypt, most notably on the Aswan quarry with the unfinished obelisk. Look at this. And again, this is incredibly hard stone. The idea that you could scoop out this granite with a copper tool is insane and completely ridiculous.
Smooth dimples, indentations, and scoops were taken directly from the rock, as if they were once soft and something was scraped over it, or perhaps pushed against it. As some have argued, these indentations in the stone could be from where wooden planks were leaning against the softened rock as a support, and the consequence of this is a leftover crater caused by the pressure of the support beams. It's an interesting theory. The idea that a lost method of stoneworking is on display across Peru is not so far-fetched when you see it for yourself, and realize just how precise and also just how bizarre these methods of construction truly are. Across the megalithic world, a global signature exists that suggests a shared style of construction, a shared style of rock extraction and masonry. They are called nubs. They can be found in Sacsahuaman and across ancient megalithic Peru in abundance. Large ones, small ones, polished ones, they have successfully evaded all attempts to accurately define their purpose or the method through which they were created. The typical mainstream explanation is that these are leverage points for ropes, lifting platforms used for the original movement and placement of the stones. However, they do not exist on every stone. They are often placed in counterintuitive areas, lacking sufficient size or shape to assist in the original moving of the blocks, and they are even found protruding from the living bedrock, which in of itself dismantles the idea that these are lifting points, unless someone wishes to make the argument that these ancient builders were attempting to lift mountains from their foundations. These stone nubs, which again are present across all the world where we find large-scale megalithic stone building projects, are so simple in their presence as to be ignored by the vast majority of tourists who visit these places, and yet, ironically, they represent one of the greatest mysteries of the ancient stone building world, something that we will revisit in detail in a later episode. But I did not come here just to stay on the ground. I also came here to go underneath it. Here at Sacsahuaman, a team of archaeologists led by Jorge Calero and Dr. Mildred Fernandez are doing exactly that. I was here to meet them, to document their work, and provide you all with exclusive, high-definition access to the dig sites. The first person I met from the team was Rodrigo Gomez.
Yes, my name is Rodrigo Gomez. I am representing the company Prosec. We are a Swiss company. We manufacture all sorts of non-destructive testing instruments, in this case, GPRs, ground penetrating radars, for subsurface. I started participating in this project since last year. I first came in November, and since then we've been quite active. We brought one of our instruments, now he's in charge of the archaeologist. He's been sending information, he's been sending data, we trained him, and now we help him with the post-processing of the data.
Do they have any idea of the depth that these walls go to yet?
Ooh, you see, we've been doing scanning since November. No, they started with one of the radars, a customer had it, probably 18 months ago. And the depth it changes because, you see, as you can see, this is not a flat place. Everywhere there's a change in altitude, so it's very variable. In some places, you can see it's 1 meter, 2 meters, 3 meters, but in some places, we don't even know. It's like in this big spot called La Pampa, we don't even know. We've done some excavations with success, others we have covered. The radar only finds anomalies, which needs a lot of interpretation, needs a lot of analysis, post-processing. So it's quite difficult to really make a decision here. Sometimes we find something, what we believe there's an anomaly that it has merit. It might be, I don't know, the Chincana walls or Chincana.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it was just a bunch of rocks. Probably an old Inca wall. That's in you can see it from here. There we just found walls, and in some other places we just found rock formations.
Do you think it's possible that there is many subterranean, like labyrinth tunnels, anything below ground?
That's what the archaeologist Jorge believes. We support him, and that's the idea. We have been reading history, and that's what the locals think. So that's the main objective of the project. So far, he has found the Chincana here, and he has found the Chincana there. Here in Mujucmarca, there in Chincana Grande. And this project is getting more exciting. As you can see, we are getting more traction, more people visiting, people asking. So I'm very excited of being able to participate in this project.
Rodrigo took me up to the summit of Sacsahuaman so that I could see for myself one of the primary excavation points. Piercing deep into the earth in search of intelligent design below ground. As we arrived, a team of diggers and movers were busy at work hoisting buckets of earth and stone from below ground. Standing above this cut in the earth, I could make out the movements of the work being done below, and I felt the excitement in me grow, knowing that I would soon be permitted to go down there myself. We awaited the arrival of Jorge Calero, and I took some time to absorb my surroundings. This mountainous land, full of broken and bruised remains of huge structural projects, such precision, such dedication and exactitude, it just does not match with what we're being taught. The simplistic Bronze Age toolkit does not correlate with the grandiosity, the scale and precision of these megalithic works. With the arrival of Jorge Calero, it was time for me to enter the underbelly of Sacsahuaman in search of structure and evidence of intelligent design.
Done.
It's worth
it. Yeah.
It's worth
it. Worth it.
Give your helmet to Jay. Seeing is believing.
But why here? Why Sacsahuaman? In order to understand this, we have to understand the name of the archaeological team, the Chincana Project. What is a Chincana? A Chincana is the ancient native word for labyrinth. In Cusco, the term specifically refers to the ancient subterranean passages that local tradition says run beneath the city and its fortress walls. For centuries, legends have circulated of hidden tunnels connecting the Inca sacred sites, most famously the Coricancha, or Temple of the Sun, in the heart of Cusco, with the vast cyclopean complex of Sacsahuaman looming above the city. Chroniclers of the 16th and 17th centuries wrote of travelers who entered these passageways and never returned, swallowed by a network of darkness said to stretch for miles. There are two Chincanas that are most well known, the Chincana Grande, the Great Labyrinth, and the Chincana Chica, the Small Labyrinth. Both are near Sacsahuaman's zigzagging megalithic walls. The smaller system is a series of short caverns and crawlways with strange cuts into the rock, a typical hallmark of the region. The larger, however, is tied to stories of immense subterranean corridors reaching deep into the mountain, possibly linking to shrines, hidden chambers, or even an underground route to Coricancha. The Chincana Project, led by Jorge Calero, takes its name from this very mythology. Their mission is not to chase folklore blindly, but to apply modern methods, ground-penetrating radar, acoustic surveys, and stratigraphic test digs, to see whether the legends carry a kernel of truth. Why Sacsahuaman? Because this is the nexus of the tradition, the place where reports converge, and where the landscape itself, with its colossal interlocking stones and enigmatic outcrops, seems to invite the question, what lies beneath? Well, that's what we're here to find out. Descending into the earth, I meet Jorge at the current terminal point of the underground excavations, and what I was shown was astounding. Although it may not seem like much, what you are seeing here are precision-carved blocks of stone, just as we see above ground. It is the beginning of what Jorge and his team suspect to be a tunnel structure, an entrance into the Chincana. Now collapsing from its original placement, the unmistakable signs of precision craftsmanship are still present, hinting a further structure to be found. Which is precisely what the team intends to uncover as they continue this work. It was an eerie feeling being one of the first to lay eyes on these stones in who knows how long, and being forced to wonder about their purpose, how much further they lead, and who is truly responsible for the laying of these subterranean elements. Several smaller-scale excavations are taking place at key points of interest around the exterior fortifications of Sacsahuaman, and what is being discovered is that these incredible cyclopean-style walls descend further down into the earth than previously believed. Several feet further, we discover these marshmallow-like blocks continue down into the ground, which suggests that this site has been present for a sufficient amount of time for significant earth buildup to occur around its base, once again inviting us to bring the timeline further back than the Bronze Age Inca. And we're not unjust in this observation, because the weight of evidence from indigenous and oral traditions, as recorded by early Spanish chroniclers, consistently indicates that the native peoples of Peru did not attribute the most impressive megalithic constructions to the Inca Empire. Instead, they preserve detailed accounts of earlier builders, whether described as viracocha, giants or divine and supernatural beings who possessed advanced knowledge of stone construction and created these monuments in pre-Inca times. These indigenous accounts, supported by archaeological evidence of multiple construction phases and technical analysis showing capabilities beyond the Inca Bronze Age technology, present a compelling case that the most sophisticated megalithic architecture in Peru represents the work of predecessor civilizations that the Inca encountered, inherited, and built upon, rather than structures they created from nothing. The consistency of these accounts across different regions and different chroniclers suggests they preserve authentic historical memories of Peru's more ancient architectural heritage. We see evidence of Inca period stonework across Sacsayhuaman and the Andes region that makes far more sense for the Bronze Age toolkit we assign to them. Rough cut stone walls, fitted together less so with precision and more so with practicality in mind. They used mortar as binding agents, and they incorporated discarded megalithic blocks that were feasible for them to maneuver. We see this all across Peru, the incorporation of megalithic blocks into simple building designs as keystones, but we do not see sizes going beyond the logical means of a Bronze Age culture. We see exactly what we would expect to see from such a culture, a more simple, easily erected and practical design that would be sufficient for fast empire building, but exists as a bold and stark contrast against the megalithic landscape. The difference between the stonework is night and day. Once again, the mainstream interpretation for all of the stonework present in Peru is that this is the work of the Bronze Age Inca, and that they simply had different stone building styles, dependent upon the importance of the site. Now, this makes sense as a surface level argument, but we're not here to glide on the surface, we're here to dive a little deeper. And when you do this, you begin to see the problem with that narrative. We see multi-ton blocks of rose granite thrown across hillsides as if they were Jenga pieces. We see vitrification of stone that appears glass-like. We see the signs of ancient degradation far beyond the timescale of the Inca. And yet, those simple structures made of rough-cut stone and mortar, structures that are not in the least resistant to earthquakes and tremendous force, they are, for the most part, still standing. And for the most part, they are largely intact. We do not see signs of massive destruction, we do not see evidence of simple structures decimated across the landscape. In fact, we see them standing right next to destruction, adjacent to multi-ton blocks toppled across hillsides and half submerged into the earth. We see these simple stone buildings. How can these more simple structures have evaded the same forces that caused their far more advanced, anti-seismically engineered, megalithic counterparts to induce so much damage and destruction? Surely we cannot be saying that these simple buildings were present during the same time period when these larger fortifications sustained their damage, because that doesn't make any sense. However, that is what the mainstream archaeological narrative maintains to this day, that all of these structures were built around the same time period, by the same people, with the same toolkit. Does that make sense to you? We will go even deeper into this issue in a later episode, but for now, Let's return our attention back to the Chincana project and the excavations underway. There is another area of interest for the team, another potential entry point into the fabled Chincana. A short walk away from the main fortifications of Sacsahuaman is an area that is no less impressive, a minefield of boulders with strange and extremely precise cuts running through them, as if a giant had taken sandpaper to them. Niches that almost resemble staircases. All across this area of Sacsahuaman, you will find these jagged boulders and bedrock extrusions as if they were a smaller piece of some colossal temple, the shattered remains of which found themselves embedded into the earth. The precision is just as puzzling as the purpose. What tools would be required to achieve this, and why was it done to begin with? Strange cuts, niches, archways, stairways, and platforms, cut, carved, and formed with incredible precision, directly into living bedrock, for reasons we still do not understand. It is in this strange maze of boulders and precision cuts that a suspected entranceway into the Chincana exists. The team are still busy, as we speak, in excavating this system. They found colonial treasures from the days of the Spanish conquistadors, pottery, coins, and crucifixes, indicating that this was also an area of interest for those early Spanish tomb raiders and treasure hunters. And so they will continue to excavate in the hopes of discovering what they suspect to be beneath the earth. And with the assistance of ground-penetrating radar, they know there is something to be discovered beneath the ground in this particular area. It's simply a matter of time and energy. It was a unique privilege to spend time with this team, to document their ongoing work, and to be one of the first humans to join them underneath the historic site of Sacsahuaman. This is just the beginning of my own journey across this region. I have so much more to show you.
This is absolutely incredible. And this is deep inside the rock. We'll be right back.
Thank you.